Hey, you guys. Look at Tom with his boob. What did you call those?
They're boob magnification goggles.
Boob magnification goggles.
Yeah.
And he can also see you through YouTube, even though we recorded this like a long time
I
ago.
can see how big your boobs are.
Because yeah,
Yeah.
so not only can he see you like through the TV or through
Yeah.
your laptop, he's also like a time lord.
Yeah. Across time and space, I see you and your boobs. And if they were C cups, to me, they're double E's. Look, Poogie. Shit, Poogie's fucking responding. Don't worry about it, Poogie. You're not a boob appreciator. So we saw this movie about this skull. Skull of Marquis de
Called
Sade.
the Skull.
The skull. It had, what's his name?
Peter Cushing
Peter Cushing. He was skinny as
and
shit in it.
Christopher Lee. He's always skinny as shit.
I came to the conclusion that Peter Cushing got better looking the older he got.
I think so too. He's definitely one of those dudes
Yeah.
that I mean, Christopher Lee did as well.
Yeah.
It helps if you're kind of like gaunt and cadaverous
He got
and
skinnier.
British and sort of and classy.
Yeah, he got skinnier as he got older. And I don't know if he was losing wisdom teeth or what, because you're starting to get more sunken in. He's not that old in this one. I mean, he still looks cool. You can recognize him, but he doesn't look like, he doesn't look like 1977, General Tarkin or anything, But if I can. He eventually gets that skinny.
Yeah.
They said that he got even skinnier after his wife died. His
Yeah,
wife
because
died, he
he
got
was
super
real.
skinny.
Yeah, he
Yeah.
was like real. He wasn't eating much and everything like that,
He
which
said he was just waiting around to die. He didn't give a shit. He
yeah,
said
which
that
I
he.
said that's like a that's sad.
I respect that, though.
But yeah, I
He had
get it.
achieved all he was going to achieve. He's just making movies, paycheck. And he's like, fuck it, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But we came across this movie. This was actually made in 1965. And this was only the second movie made by Amicus Productions, old Hammer's rival. I guess they weren't really
Yeah.
rivals because they used a lot of the same actors and stuff.
It's just like another one.
Yeah, I feel, well, Amicus, they kind of, I mean, obviously Hammer gets, known for making sort of more gothic stuff, vampires, werewolves, shit like that. Whereas Amicus was more known for their anthology movies, or portmanteau, if you were British, they called them. Which were several stories, and they were usually set in the modern day, but they made a few movies that were just like one story as well, which The Skull is. I feel this is kind of like a little bit of a forgotten one.
Hammer action movies actually looked better. They were more colorful. You could tell they were more expensive.
Yeah.
And they showcased boobs a lot more. She's laughing. It's true. The Amicus ones, they might have one girl who's boobalicious. And they'll fucking put her in an outfit that's like, yeah, we see what you're talking about. We know what you're trying to show us. But the Amicus will just show you one girl like that. All right? Hammer would have like four or five of them.
And they'd all be like
They'd
hanging it
all be
for
hanging.
it.
Yeah, it was a boob fest. Like
Let me bend over and get this thing.
any opportunity to do a down blouse, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And they were all beautiful. This is 60s and 70s, you know what I mean? The show business was still glamorous. And England or Europe in general, they kind of glorified feminine beauty. They just the best looking women from England or Germany or Italy. The Italians did the same thing. The Italians were even more egregious. All right. They were just straight up nudes everywhere, But the British had a nice mixture, you know what I mean? Where, yeah, they were good looking girls, the fucking great costumes, really good sets. And they show you some cleavage, but they didn't. Sometimes it was nudity, but it wasn't gratuitous. You know what I mean? Or let's say it wasn't at the Italian level. It was all gratuitous. The Italian level, that's just like, here it is, here it is, and here's
Yeah,
some
they were
more of
just
that.
like
We know you
shameless.
like that. We're going to show you some more of that.
You're jiggling around
Yeah. They jiggle.
something.
Like, they knew exactly what they were doing.
Well,
A
yeah.
good example of a fucking awesome horror flick, or Hammer horror flick, would have been the Carmilla.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Lesbian vampires. You can't fucking beat that.
Well, I mean, they
Can't fucking beat
made. I
that.
feel like there was a lot of movies that came out that were
Yeah.
lesbian vampires because that
Lesbian
one was like
vampire.
cha-ching. It was like lesbian vampires.
Yeah.
That's all I need to hear. Just
Lots of push-up bras, lots of bustiers, and
lots of
fucking
women making out with
you
one
make it out.
another.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
then, yeah, and cucking out the men and shit. And men are like, wait a minute, hold on, what happened? The girls are getting it on. Wait a minute, what?
Can I watch?
Yeah, and then dad sees it happen. He's like, that's not happening, is it? Are they, are they a couple? That's not acceptable. I mean, he's thinking that, but they didn't say it. Remember that when Carmella comes down with the girl and her dad is like, "Fuck is this all about?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said,
what's she doing with that?
Will they let me watch it?
Yeah.
But yeah, so Amicus, I guess, I don't know if they'd made like some films beforehand that weren't horror movies, but their first horror movie, I think, was Dr. Terror's House of Horrors, which I'm pretty sure that was an anthology. But then this was their second one. Now, the thing about the skull is that it has a lot of the same, aspects that their portmanteau films had, in that it's the same director, Freddie Francis, a lot of the same actors, like I said, Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee was in this one as well. He's billed as like special guest, but he's in it a lot, so it's not like a cameo or anything. And the story was written by, or it was based on a story by Robert Bloch, who wrote Psycho, if you didn't know. And he wrote so many fucking short stories that pretty much all of the Amicus movies, like the anthology movies, all the stories were written by him, mostly. And he also wrote like for fucking Twilight Zone, a thriller, and like pretty much any horror anthology show that you could think of. So the story that this was based on was had the really like workmanlike title of The Skull of the Marquis de Sade. And the story was only 6 pages long. So Robert Bloch didn't write the screenplay for this, though. Milton Subosky, who was one of the owners of Amicus, he was like the studio head, he actually wrote the screenplay. And that's kind of the only... I really did like this movie, but I think that's my only criticism, was that you can definitely tell that this was a really, really short story that they were kind of like... trying to make
yeah.
A long movie.
I gotta be honest. To me, I thought it was mediocre. It was not bad. If you're into this kind of movie, you'll like it, I guess. But by modern standards, I'd call this mediocre. Had Hammer done it with a bigger budget, it would have been better, I think. It just didn't quite have the eye candy that it should have had. Amicus, so far from what I'm seeing, Amicus is a good company. It wasn't quite up to Hammer's quality level.
Yeah, this one, it kind of had, they almost did like an homage to Hammer at the beginning, because they show the original dude that goes and steals the Marquis de Sade's skull, like he does some grave robber action, and that supposedly happens in 1810 or whenever the fuck that happens, and he takes it back and tries to boil the flesh off it, and that's when you get kind of the only half-naked woman, because she's like in the tub when she gets there. Although you don't see her boobs or anything. You just kind of see her from the back and she's like, oh.
Yeah.
Naughty. Yeah. But yeah, so it's that kind of thing. And then something bad happens to him that you presume the skull had something to do with. And then they jump ahead to present day, which would be 1965. Yeah. And then you have Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee, who are kind of like, they're friends, colleagues, kind of like they know each other. And they're both collectors of occult paraphernalia.
Yeah.
And so they're at an auction and Christopher Lee ends up like buying these weird little statues or whatever. And then so what ends up happening though is that Peter Cushing, he has this dude that brings him stuff who's kind of shifty, and his name is Marco. And he brings him this book, which is about the Marquis de Sade, and it's supposedly bound in human skin. Even though it just looks like regular ass, it looks like a regular ass book, but whatever. And then they kind of give you a backstory of Marquis de Sade. In this, movie, you're led to believe, or you're led to, what's the word that I'm looking for? They're positing that Marquis de Sade was essentially like a wizard or like a warlock. Like, that he was a Satanist.
Yeah.
And that he had occult powers. And that, I don't think that they were saying that it was him, but I think they mentioned in there that he was kind of possessed by a demon, that, and the demon was still hanging around in his skull and could make you do shit. Like, it can control your mind, essentially.
Kind of possess you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a, I guess it's an okay idea. I just think that, look, it's 1964. That's when they're making this movie. It's a little conservative even for 64. There's some other stuff from this same era that Hammer came out with that is a lot, I think, more interesting and kind of have a sexier element and a little bit more visual. It lacks a lot of visual impact. It didn't really have that giallo kind of backlight coloring that
had really a little bit of that, but not much.
And that didn't quite have enough women in it. There was a lot of men in the movie. It needed more female characters.
Yeah, it was a sausage fest.
Yeah, it needed more female characters, even if they were just eye candy. And Hammer did that. It was just to keep the male audience more interested in what was going on. And most of the male audience at the time, it would have been young men.
Yeah.
So women didn't watch these kind of movies, really, I don't think. I mean, they had some, but I think the main market was young men. It ended up coming off feeling like one of those Vincent Price, Edgar Allan Poe movies. Not quite as zany. It was a more serious. But it was like mediocre. It was in the middle of everything. They could have intensified some aspect of it. Either intensify the horror or intensify the sexuality or intensify the visuality of it. You know, the visuals with the colors. It was just kind of conservative. It's a good way of describing it. It felt conservative to me. And therefore kind of like it's a movie that kind of falls into the background. If you're into these kind of old British horror movies, this would be one that you would want to watch after having seen a bunch of other ones that were good. You start running out of them.
Yeah, this is kind of like second or third tier. Yeah. Like, even for Amicus, because I feel like Amicus, honestly, I feel like this movie, and I think I kind of implied this before, but I think it would have worked better as a short segment in an anthology movie. Because, like I said, you can definitely tell that this was a short story. You can tell it was the same writer, it was Robert Bloch, but you can definitely tell because there's a lot of stuff in it that didn't really need to be in there. Just because they were trying to make it to feature length.
Yeah, and a lot of stuff, like you said, a lot of stuff that didn't need to be there because it was kind of forgettable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was only one scene in it that, to me, was memorable, and that was the one where fucking dude sitting there and the skull comes out of the... Peter Cushing
is sitting there,
and the skull comes out of the cover. It's a dresser or something, or it comes off the shelf. And it sits down on that, it's a little table.
Yeah.
On the table.
Skull moves around by itself.
Skull moves by itself.
Yeah.
And that's really the only thing that was visually memorable.
Now, I will say the cinematography for this was actually pretty cool. I liked the inside of Peter Cushing's apartment, like his house. Like, I loved that hallway, like with the purple and the black, and it's like that was super cool.
Yeah, the settings were good.
And his study was really cool. Yeah. And even like Marco, the traitor, like his apartment building is actually really cool with all the stained glass and everything, like him falling through the stained glass.
When he would walk around, the paintings would turn towards him, and certain, you know, there was poltergeist activity. That was pretty...
Yeah, I liked that bit too.
That's pretty effective.
Like, yeah, and I liked that that wasn't really brought up. Like, once, because what ends up happening is that him and Christopher Lee, like, Christopher Lee had the skull, but it was stolen from him. And so Peter Cushing kind of wanted to get his hands on it after he had the book, and now he's all interested. And Christopher Lee was like, man, you don't want that shit. It can control your mind, and it'll, like, make you kill people and whatnot. And, you know, he's like, and I was able to resist it, but it was really hard. But, of course, Peter Cushing still wants that shit anyway. And, indeed, it does kind of start to, like, control his mind. And I think that part of the movie... Like, especially near the end where the skull starts kind of floating around on its own was, like, really cool. That was, like, really well done, and it was, like, really creepy. And then when he was, like, walking through the apartment, and like I said, sometimes, like, the paintings in the background would, like, tilt.
Yeah.
And, like, the mirrors would kind of go weird and stuff.
Yeah.
I will say, too, that right when the skull first started to, like, you know, do its kind of, like, effect on him or whatever, there was this really great surreal scene where... He gets, like, two guys show up at his door and say that they're cops, and they're like, hey, you're under arrest for murder or whatever. And he doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about because he was just sitting there reading, minding his own beeswax. And, like, so he goes to this place, and it goes, like, all fucking Franz Kafka. Like, he goes into this room, and it's all blue, and there's nothing in there except, you know, the judge's bench and the judge sitting on it. And then they hold a gun to the back of his head and make him play Russian roulette. And then it keeps clicking, and then, like, he runs into another room, and it's all red. So it's, like, this really weird, surrealist kind of shit in there, which I actually kind of liked that they put that in there.
Yeah.
Too, even though it was just kind of trying to show that his mind was fracturing because of the skull's influence, you know.
Yeah, those interior shots would have looked a lot better had the Italians shot them, though.
True. Although, like I said, there were a couple of touches where
they tried, like it'd be like a really
saturated, like green light or something like that.
Well, the British knew about it. I mean, they were doing it. They did it in that movie Psychomania.
Yeah.
Remember that they kind of had that giallo color effects, and they, you know, Hammer did it too.
Yeah.
It just, they were good interior shots. It's just, they didn't really like pop.
Yeah.
They should have. It's almost kind of like it was a workman. It was just a workman like job. Hey, let's get this thing shot and get it over with. It probably didn't take them long to make this, and you know the budget is going to be low. So
yeah, I don't think they had as much money to work with as Hammer did.
It's not like So maybe I'm a little harsh on it, but the thing is that once you make these movies, they're around for a long time. Might as well just throw the extra money in there, man. Fucking learn how to fucking. Throw some colored lights on some stuff, spice it up, make it a little more visual. And I think maybe the movie would have been, I think, like you said, the edit is a little funny too, because they've stretched it out.
Yeah, it seems like it would have worked better as like a short inside like a larger. Because it reminded, it's, for some reason, it's really weird that Robert Bloch wrote this story like about a skull, Marquis de Sade's skull, that for some reason can control your mind and make you kill people because he's a wizard or a warlock or whatever. I'm pretty sure, if I'm not remembering this right, but I think Robert Bloch also wrote a short story that I read a long time ago about Jack the Ripper's knife, and if you found Jack the Ripper's knife, that would also make you kill people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure. So that was maybe one of Robert Bloch's things, where it's just like an object that was owned by like an evil person, like, you know, if you pick it up, it's going to make you do the same shit as that person.
Had Hammer done this, there'd have been a lot more women in it. And then one of the hottest women there would have been possessed by Marquis de Sade. And then she would have done some like lesbian bondage.
You know, this was like very,
needed some shit
it
like
was
that.
Very unsexual for unsexual, being about the Marquis de Sade.
You got the Marquis de Sade and there's no fucking bondage. There's no lesbian bondage.
What all they kind of didn't talk about, because they do, like I said, when Peter Cushing first gets the book about Marquis de Sade and he doesn't really know that much about him. Yeah. So they do kind of this thing where he's like talking about his history, but the whole thing about it is that they just said that he, something about, oh, cruelty and everything like that. Like he was an evil, like black, he was into black magic or whatever, but they don't say anything about the sadomasochism or like him being a pervert or anything like that. And just think of how that would have played differently. And now when you said that there's like no women, the only women that are in this movie are the chick in the bathtub at the beginning, like in the 1810 portion of the movie.
She was cute.
And and she's like naked, but you don't get to see anything. Yeah. And Peter Cushing's wife, who's only in like two scenes.
Yep.
And she's only in there. She's like not even a character hardly. She's only in there like to be menaced at the end. Or, you know, so like Peter Cushing is like, oh my God, I'm going to kill my wife because the skull told me to.
Yeah.
And that's, so you get that scene at the end, which is a good scene. But I think it would have been more effective if they had built her character up more.
Had you never read any Marquis de Sade's books or known who that guy was, you wouldn't know what the Marquis de Sade was on the basis of this movie. You wouldn't know what, you would say, well, who's that? Is he like Anton LaVey? Because he might as well be
Anton LaVey. I kind of feel like they were trying to make him more like Anton LaVey, because this was mostly just like black magic.
Right,
There wasn't any any sexual element to it.
No, so in a way, that they might have been kind of like trolling or fishing in a way. They're trying to get people to come in on the back of fucking, you know, on the back of fucking this Sade's notoriety, with the promises of maybe seeing some BDSM.
Yeah, that maybe somebody's gonna get whipped.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna get, you're gonna see some BDSM.
We're gonna get tied
up. At least see some suspension or some shit like that. You know what I mean? And no, none of that happens. But it should have. Had Hammer done this, it would have.
Well, yeah, they would have gotten away with everything they could have gotten away in 1965.
The ghost of de Sade would have gone into the hottest chick there and fucking taken over and abused the other women.
And then she'd have been doing all kind of like wanton shit.
Yeah. She'd have been doing shit to herself in front of the mirror, because that's what de Sade would have done if he'd got inside a woman. He'd have done all kinds of weird shit. He was trisexual. He just tried everything.
Yeah.
You know? And he'd have gone into men too, though.
Well, yeah, he, like you said, he wanted to try everything out.
Yeah, he's trying everything.
So, essentially, this is almost kind of like I mentioned, that I'm pretty sure that that story was written by Robert Bloch, and I think it was just called The Knife, and it was about Jack the Ripper's knife and how it made you find it, somebody finds it, like, in a gutter or something, and then they start stabbing people. And this was kind of like that. It's like the Marquis de Sade's skull, all he wanted you to do, he was controlling your mind, and he would, like... The skull would, like, woo out of the fucking, out of the cabinet or whatever, and then it would light the black candles, and then it would make you go out and kill people and you didn't remember. And I don't know necessarily why the people that got killed, like, needed to be killed. Yeah. Like, I think they were just, like, random. Like, hey, Liz, why don't you just start killing people, you know? Just for the shits and giggles? Maybe. I don't know.
I think this is the second or third Amicus movie I've seen, and this is the weakest one. Out of the three that I've
seen. I mean, I can see why, like, it's, like I said, you know, and I don't mean to be too harsh on it, because it's still, like, a good movie. It's a good-looking movie. Peter Cushing is always amazing. Christopher Lee is always amazing. It's a cool idea. Like, I like some of the scenes, and I like the shit with the skull and everything. I just, like you said, I feel like they could have done more with that concept.
Yeah, it felt dated to me. This felt like an old classic horror movie, like old Dracula or old... Frankenstein, you know, what's the Universal monsters.
Yeah.
It's almost like something from old Universal.
That's yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm talking about? Didn't feel like 1964. 1964 could be a lot wilder than this. And they played it safe. It was conservative.
Yeah.
I would, you know, or just real low budget. So they just had to do with what they could afford to do.
Yeah, I mean, this was only their second horror movie, so.
Well, Amicus is second
horror. For Amicus, okay. Yeah. I mean, they had made, like I said, they'd made Dr. Terror's House of Horrors, which I've seen, but I don't really remember much about it.
Yeah.
But this was their second one. And, like, you could really tell they were trying to do, like, something cool with it, you know, with this kind of lurid premise, but it doesn't really live up to the luridness of that premise.
As far as these British flicks go, from what I've seen so far, and I haven't seen them all, Jenny's really the expert on it. When it comes to the 1960s, you want to see Hammer. When it comes to the 1970s, you want to see those Sinbad movies and, like, you know, Land That Time Forgot and People That Time Forgot. What company did those? Do you remember?
I don't really remember. You don't remember? Actually,
no. Yeah. They were almost like Star Wars before Star Wars. Some of the same studios and people that worked on those worked on Star Wars a few years later. But, so far I'd say Hammer. Hammer was where it's at.
And like I said, they were more expensive. But honestly, I like a lot of Amicus's, anthology movies.
I got to see more of it.
I like a lot of their anthology movies. Right. And like I said, I like that they were kind of doing something a little bit different. They weren't like stepping on Hammer's dick. You know, it's like, oh, we're going to do gothic horror too, but we don't have as much money. They just wanted to do more modern pieces and more... and doing short stories, mostly what they did. And like I said, I feel like this movie would have been a lot better if this story had just been one part of like an anthology, like they would usually do.
Had they just changed it from Marquis de Sade to somebody else, the story would have made a little bit more sense to me, maybe.
Yeah, you could have just said it was like some black magician, like from back
then
in the
day.
Then
it was fucking Tokamada. You know,
That
would have been even better. Tokamada's skull. He had a demon in him.
Yeah.
You know, he was out killing people.
I mean, it could have worked. It could have worked with anybody. It's honestly, it should have. They should have just had somebody that was a black magician, or that was into black magic, or was just like a murderer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. If you're gonna do Marquis de Sade, that brings people have a certain perception.
Yeah, you're gonna see
of what you're gonna see with that, and you don't really see it. So, like I said, it's just very strangely non-sexual for being about the Marquis de Sade skull, controlling people's behavior.
He was a pervy. He was a pervert. You know, he's pervy as hell. You were going to see some perverted shit if the side was there.
Yeah. And it's like, I realized they couldn't show a lot of that stuff in the movies in the 1960s, but they could have, like I said, they could have implied it.
Oh, 64, you could get away with a lot of shit. I mean, fucking, the side was a power top, power bottom, the power traitor. He would just, you know what I mean, do all kinds of weird shit to people, you know, and then write about all kinds of... I don't know how much of the stuff he actually did and what he just, you know, a lot of
like shit, he probably just imagined
a lot of that shit.
He was just like, ooh, yeah. It was like fanfic.
You get thrown in prison doing this shit.
He did, but
he was drugging people.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Which even back then was pretty illegal.
He was roofing the hookers. Yeah. You can go to jail for that.
So like I said, that's something anyway. That was actually illegal back then.
Yeah, although they said that might have been blown out of proportion too. It was something kind of like Spanish fly that he gave.
Yeah.
or so he thought it was some kind of aphrodisiac, they complained about it. I don't know if it was hysteria or what, because they didn't have the technology for Viagra. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was probably just rolled up damn chili powder. They didn't know much back then, you know what I mean?
There's like
what
gave
him a stomach ache and they went and fucking said, he gave us poison.
Yeah, he poisoned me. That
yeah, it's probably chili powder.
Well, you know, I don't want to be drinking that either. It's like, hey, this will spice up our love life. Yeah. Like, oh man, now I have fucking, now I really don't feel like having sex because now I have
from
like,
the faraway land of Mexico. You know,
that's exotic shit.
Probably nothing more than habanero.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah, like, well, because like I said, it's very like magical thinking, which is you know, like does like. It's like if something is hot, then it's supposed to make you like all hot and like fucking aroused and everything.
Then they run to the police. He tried to poison us, and then they got fucking Desaad in there doing time in a Bastille for fucking giving some chicks habanero pepper. But that was the thinking of the time. They wrote great literature. They were smart, but they made a lot of mistakes.
But they pooped in bowls.
But they shat in fucking pots, put it in the bed. They
save that for later.
Their thinking wasn't modern.
Save that for later.
It wasn't very sound. They were superstitious.
Yeah, and like I said, if something, I mean, any food or anything like that that you know was hot or was slimy or whatever, that's
poison.
If you ate it, that was supposed to have the same effect like on a human.
Yeah, but they would also think that would be like poisoning somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you roofied him.
Yeah.
With the habanero. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now she's trying to fuck everything. She can't control herself. She's out of control.
She's out there trying to hump someone.
What did you do to my daughter?
Yeah. Wanton harlot. Yeah.
Yes, I can't take it.
I kind of feel like that's probably what happened. Like a lot of women that did stuff like that, they were just kind of like, that's why they said they were all like possessed by devils and stuff, because that was the only way they could get out of shit and like not get in trouble. And then they could just run around and be like a total hussy and like then like be like, hey, I'm not responsible for that shit.
I didn't do it.
He gave me some shit, and then I just started running around like humping everybody. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And then it's not my fault. The side was thinking to himself, damn, that shit worked.
I'm gonna write that shit down.
Yeah,
I'll have to use that again.
Habanero works.
Makes chicks hump everything inside.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah,
but yeah. So this movie is on. We watched it on Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, it's free on there. I think it's also on Shudder. It was added not too long because I feel like this is kind of like not a forgotten necessarily, but it's kind of an Amicus movie that not a lot of people talk about. And you know, watching it, like I said, it's a good movie. I enjoyed it. I liked the shots like that were like skull cam, like through the eyes of the skull, like they were watching. I thought that was kind of cool. So there's a lot of good shit in it, but it's not really one of their best ones.
My verdict is that it's a good movie on its own. It's not one of the first ones you want to see. If you want to see these old classic British horror flicks, go see all the Hammer stuff first.
If you're going to watch the Amicus ones, I would recommend the, you know, the anthologies first and then kind of go back and see these other ones.
You see something like this after you've got a taste for the genre and you've seen all the other ones and you working your way down.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like when you're getting to like the bottom of
when you become an expert.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it. This was the first time I actually saw it. All right. So that'll do it for this matinee. We'll see you guys later. Bye.